Welcome to the 80th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about a speaking engagement that I had in South Carolina at the South Carolina Academy of Family Practice. So we'll talk about that in a little bit and how that went and what the response was. But first, a little rundown, as we usually do. What's growing in the backyard is my okra. I looked out when I came home. We're getting all this rain in Florida at this time. And all of a sudden, I have okra. Last year, I just had a little bit. This year, I planted this whole big raised garden of okra. And lo and behold, I have okra. So I'm awful excited about that. I still have my little poblano peppers growing. The tomatoes are starting to become scarce because it's so hot. So and little herbs are growing. Basil's growing crazy. So still get to go and pick a few things out of the garden. We had lychees on our lychee tree. Not a whole lot, maybe we might have a dozen. They're not very big. They're not much bigger than a grape. If you've never seen them, they have kind of a hard outside and a soft grape type texture inside. So hopefully next year we'll have more of those. The rest of the fruit trees are growing, but nothing else has fruit on it. So that's pretty good. From a training aspect, no events until the fall. I have a triathlon, Ironman Louisville. So swim, bike, and run is in progress. Unfortunately, I've not been swimming for the last week because I had a little cooking accident. I think I mentioned last week I tried eggplant bacon, which is fantastic. And you know, my mother's like, oh, we need to have that around a lot. So I decided that I had some leftover marinating sauce. I make another batch and got my new fancy dancy mandolin out. It was in the evening. I was multitasking, and next thing I knew, I mandolin the end of my finger or my thumb off. So it's a little sore. It's missing a little spot, just enough that I don't want to expose to pool water. So it's okay to expose to the bike and the run. And I found another use for K-tape. You know, use K-tape for injuries. It also provides a good padding for the outside of a sore finger. So I've got wrapped up in K-tape. So hopefully, maybe next week, maybe, I don't know if I'll get there by Monday, but maybe Wednesday or Friday of next week, I'll get back in the pool, only to have lost enough swimming endurance to have to chase everybody up and down the lane. It's amazing, you know, when you don't do your specific sport that you lose fitness in that sport, even though you're doing other sports. So I've been trying to do some weight-specific training to keep those skills up, but it is what it is. That's part of the process, is training, untraining, training, untraining. I guess that's what makes it interesting. I have learned my mandolin lesson, and I will always use the holder on top of the vegetable from now on. Somehow I thought I was a little smarter than the average bear and didn't need to use it because my cutting skills are good, but my cutting skills are great when it comes to cutting off the end of my finger. So anyway, the other thing, I tried a recipe from a podcast listener, as well as he also sees me in plant-based nutrition class. Michael Pry gave me a recipe for sprouted hummus. I'd never made hummus sprouted. I don't know if you've listened. If you listened to the second episode of my podcast, I interviewed a marathon ultra runner named Gordon, who tried to make hummus out of dried chickpeas without either cooking or sprouting them, and it became a recipe for cement. So these chickpeas are from dry chickpeas, although I sprouted them. So I soaked them overnight in water, rinsed them, and then put them in a sprouting jar for another day until they got just a little nubbin of a sprout on the end of them. And his recipe called for chickpeas, garlic, cumin, tamari, water, sesame seeds versus tahini, a date, some Dijon mustard. And I put that in a Vitamix till it was very smooth. I like a little spice, so I added some sriracha for heat into mine. And kind of made me smile because if you follow some other plant-based people such as Josh LaJohnny and Tim Kaufman, who I've had on the podcast, they're big sriracha fans, so they add sriracha just about everything. So I added sriracha to the hummus, and it was quite good. So I brought it today for work. I had it on the greens that I some romaine lettuce. I had some homegrown poblano peppers, carrots, red cabbage, tomatoes, and I threw the hummus on top of that. And then I also had a lavash, which was millet and flax with sun-dried tomatoes from Sammy's Bakery in Tampa. So if you're any place close to Sammy's Bakery in Tampa or in that area, you can actually order from them. The only fat in those were the flaxseed that they used to make them. So they're very good, very tasty. I've had their pita breads, also very good. Maybe I should even try to get them on the podcast at some time. I don't know. Just thought about that. But so that was very good. It doesn't hurt that my dog's named Sammy, so that makes me be able to remember it good. So that was lunch, and I felt very good about that. And I had some Georgia peaches. So all is well. So we traveled to South Carolina last weekend, and we stopped in Savannah on the way for the evening just to check out the city. And we went to a place there called the Sentinent Bean for dinner. We had a vegan Super Bowl there with beans, quinoa, greens, various veggies, tempeh, avocado, a nut pate, all there in a bowl, as well as tacos, which were barbecued tofu, greens, roasted red pepper, cucumber, and spicy sauce on corn tortillas. So that was a great dinner. They had a variety of juices and coffees there as well. So it was a really nice menu and, of course, very laid back. On Sunday, Sunday we took a run around Savannah, toured a little bit more by foot, and then went on into Hilton Head. And we ate that night at the Studio. And that was a restaurant that was, it was both vegetarian and vegan. And there were some animal-based dishes there. The owners were vegan. And one of the owners was an artist as well, and so she just displayed her artwork there. And so we had another really good meal with a variety of vegetables. I had a Thai pate with asparagus and broccoli and red peppers and some olives. We also had vegan mac and cheese with sun-dried tomatoes. That was really, really good. Don't often get mac and cheese, but it's kind of fun to taste other people's to see how they do it. And they made that with cashews and cashew milk and sun-dried tomatoes and nutritional yeast. They didn't use any oil or any vegan cheeses, so that was really good. And then another vegetable stir-fry with broccoli and asparagus and mushrooms and red pepper. So that was also very good. The next day, after the lecture, we went to a place called Pure Natural Market, which was a Jamaican vegan diner, and they had we had a roasted chickpea salad with kale and mango and kind of a pico with avocado, and then a carrot salad. And I had the jackfruit pulled pork barbecue sandwich with coleslaw and mango salad. So that was really, really good. So, you know, traveling from Florida to Georgia to South Carolina, we did really good getting a variety of great, great dishes. We used the Happy Cow app when we were in Georgia and South Carolina to find those places. So that was very helpful. At the restaurant at the Sonesta Resort where the conference was held, we were able to get some roasted vegetables and a portobello sandwich at lunchtime. Also, so, you know, they were accommodating. I'd like to thank Dr. Lori Carnsu for inviting me to the South Carolina Academy for Family Practitioners annual assembly. She's been working hard to get nutrition into their agenda for the meet and greet on Sunday evening. There were a predominance of vegetables, so she was really happy. Roasted vegetables at the little meet and greet session, so she was quite happy. There were about, I'd say, four or five plant-based doctors in the group of about 150 physicians attending. That is pretty much what the ratio is for vegans in the United States. So it's not really out of the question as far as that low of numbers. We'd like to see more. I heard of some plant-based cardiologists in South Carolina, apparently, so that's was really nice to hear. Everyone was very welcoming and eager to hear, about plant-based medicine and you know, how you do it in your office. The interesting thing was I had a physician come up to me and, a couple physicians talking about their frustration in the general primary care practice. We all went to medical school for not the reasons that oftentimes we're currently practicing. And my hope with my talk was to awaken some of the physicians, back to realizing why we all went to medical school. Nobody knew about electronic medical records, and we didn't learn about insurance, and we didn't learn much about nutrition, and we certainly didn't learn much about the business of medicine. But when you're thrown into practice, all that stuff comes tumbling down. And when I spoke to some young physicians, they were very frustrated and worried about their practice because they weren't providing the care that they would have liked to, or being able to spend the time with patients that they wanted to, because there's so many patients and so many things to do. The overhead was high, trying to pay off student loans, trying to manage a family, the number of patients that you have to see. No one knew, the pharmaceutical industry has kind of snuck in and dictated the way we practice medicine. We really haven't had there really wasn't a chance in the day to stop and think about what's going on. So a lot of people were trying to figure out ways to kind of turn back the clock and go back to the way family medicine and primary care once was, as far as taking care of people and having time to spend and develop relationships. And so we talked about how, teaching and helping people through plant-based nutrition was kind of a way to get back to how we all wanted to practice medicine, because we really all went there to help people. If you wanted fame or fortune, or there's a lot better ways to do it than to be a physician, for sure. And it didn't take very long after the first year of medical school to figure out this is not the easy way out as far as an easy lifestyle. So I think, people are looking for a quality of life for themselves and quality of life for their patients, and how to, how to attain that. So we talked a little bit about, going back to, what we said in the Hippocratic Oath when we all graduated, and basically is to help and not to do harm. And one thing that I learned that I've said here before, it's treatment should make someone live longer or better, or both. But if you can't accomplish that, then you probably should not be doing that treatment. And of course, Hippocrates, we weren't taught the saying, and you've all heard it, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. The idea was to get back to that. One fear when I talk to physicians about whole food plant-based medicine is that, it might ruin their practice, or again, they won't be able to pay the bills. Certainly, if we cured everybody of heart disease and cancer, that would be great. It would take most of our lifetimes. If we all were 100% successful, we could probably practice until into our retirement at accomplishing that goal. There are 1.6 million cancer death diagnoses a year, and there's 589 cancer deaths in 2015. There was 800,000 deaths from cardiovascular disease last year. So, to put that into perspective, it'd be a lot of work for all of us physicians and primary care and specialists to be able to fix that in our lifetime. Especially when you look into the way our food system is now, with fast food restaurants and processed foods and areas where there's not fresh vegetables. So I don't think, we talked about it, it's not going to ruin somebody's practice to teach whole food plant-based medicine. It's how do you accomplish it in the time that you have. And, you know, one thing that I suggested was, you know, a lot of practices use ancillary health providers such as nurse practitioners and physician's assistants. And certainly as people become plant-based, they need to get off their medicine instead of put on their medicine. And so wouldn't it be a great idea if the ancillary healthcare providers were doing the weekly pulling back or elimination of medicines as the people become more and more plant-based? And wouldn't it be nice if you could have a registered dietitian in your office that did group classes so that you get people on the plant-based and nutrition and they're being supported? And then the physicians in the ancillary healthcare are taking them off the medications, and you as a physician are, you know, you're seeing and making diagnosis and developing treatment plans. That's certainly the way I would like to change my whole practice eventually. So, you know, it's not undoable. It just takes a little bit of thinking outside the box. But when people are so busy, they don't have time to think outside the box. I presented the data to them about reversing heart disease through plant-based nutrition. Many of them had not heard. You know, the earliest studies were with Dean Ornish and Dr. Esselstyn, but Dean Ornish actually, in a small group of people, showed coronary artery disease reversal with catheterization before and after over a couple-year period. He showed PET scanning, nuclear stress testing, normalization on a whole food plant-based diet. Dr. Ornish has also shown carotid artery disease to regress and the degree of stenosis to regress on a whole food plant-based diet. Of course, Dr. Esselstyn has the largest study at 198 people long-term at 3.8 with only a 0.6% event rate, meaning that only one person had a stroke in the whole follow-up period, and that was secondary to atrial fibrillation, which and a blood thinner issue as opposed to nutrition. The other thing is, you know, looking at cancer. We know that dairy is one of the most carcinogenic or cancer-causing foods that we have, and it stimulates the development of breast cancer as well as prostate cancer. And Dr. Ornish has also shown the regression of PSA and no progression of prostate cancer on a whole food plant-based diet. And that was published in 2005 in the Journal of Urology. So it's right there in the Journal of Cardiology and then Family Practitioner and Urology. The studies are there. We just have to, you know, have some reason to look at them. I also wanted to awaken him of the side effects of some of the pharmacological treatments. And, you know, when it comes to heart disease, it's mainly statins. We've all heard of muscle damage with statins. Sometimes it can be sore muscles and abnormality of blood test. Sometimes it can actually be tremendous muscle damage and weakness in a few people. Liver damage can occur. We often see a rise in liver function tests, so you have to monitor that. There is a definite increased risk of breast cancer over a long time on statin therapies. Memory loss has been documented. It's hard to prove how much of that is natural aging and high cholesterol or what other diseases as well, but certainly memory loss can get worse and improve by taking people off of statins. And there is increased risk of diabetes, and it's that diabetic population continues to grow. And we continue to treat them aggressively with cholesterol-lowering medicines, which are mainly statins. So, you know, we have to wake up and, you know, kind of smell the roses, and the treatment that we're doing might not ultimately be the best. What I also find somewhat amazing is the treatment of kidney disease. I presented a patient with kidney disease, and I'll talk about him a little bit later, to the group, but oftentimes I argue with the nephrologist because when people have kidney failure, they may have high potassium because they can't get rid of the potassium. And so everyone's worried about the potassium in vegetables. The other thing that they're worried about is the patient not getting enough protein. When people have severe kidney disease, they often lose protein through the kidneys, and they lose albumin, so they can get swollen legs, and our albumin in their blood can actually drop. And so a lot of people and most regimens will prescribe increasing the protein intake. But as far back as the 1940s, 1948, there was publications that by decreasing the protein intake that the kidney has to handle, you actually preserve the kidney function and actually allow the kidneys to heal. And there actually has been a publication that giving a vegan vegetarian diet to people with severe kidney disease, that their albumin levels do not get worse, their protein levels don't get worse, and actually they get better, and their kidney function improves. So if we have all this nutritional data, why don't we use it? Again, it's the fear that if we don't give these medications and we don't chase numbers in labs sometimes, that patients may not do better. So we're supported by all these pharmaceutical interventions and procedural interventions, but you know, fail to use common sense. When Dr. Walter Kepner was doing the rice diet in the 40s, when there wasn't dialysis, people's kidney function got better. But now there's very little attention paid to nutrition with people with kidney failure. And again, they're told to eat a lot and a lot of protein and eat what they want and to avoid fruit and vegetables. And it doesn't make sense to me. When most people with kidney disease die of cardiovascular disease, why we wouldn't want them to eat a whole food plant-based diet? And I'll also argue that if you decrease animal flesh and dairy from one's diet, which also contains potassium, that you have plenty of room for potassium in vegetables. And there are vegetables that are lower in potassium, and there's ways to leach the potassium out of vegetables through steaming. So there's lots of ways to go around it, but it takes a little bit of effort. But I would, still advocate that eating a whole food plant-based diet and eating a diet that's going to help your blood vessels will preserve your kidney function. And there's no reason to stay alive on dialysis if you're just going to have a heart attack from eating a high-fat standard American diet. I actually explained to them at the meeting what a whole food plant-based diet was. Whole food, plants, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. Limited amount of processed flour products, avoid processed oils, limit nuts to cooking to about 2 ounces a day, 2 to 4 ounces, and use them in cooking as opposed to a snacking. I talked about how we as physicians have watered down advice to patients because we're afraid if we give them something too radical that they won't follow anything. So we water down exercise 2-3 times a week when every day would be better. We water it down from 90 minutes, where there's certainly data that it's better, it's down to 20 minutes because we're afraid that people won't do any if we put some sort of a high number on it. Again, it just takes a little time to help people get started in exercise. You know, dictating that they go out and they've never been off the couch to 90 minutes a day is certainly not going to work. But there are ways to go about increasing someone's exercise, just starting a good routine, 5 or 10 minutes a day, and working their way up. Again, it takes a little bit more time. But again, that's what we really want to do as physicians, is to help and educate our patients. Salt is the same way. The reality of it is this 2 grams or 1,500 milligrams to 2,000 milligrams a day is watered down. It would be better if there was less. There's no reason for the table salt. We get a tremendous amount of salt in processed foods. And, you know, I explained to the physicians that I taught, you know, chicken is still one of the saltiest things that we eat because it's soaked in a brine. Unfortunately, the vegetables that they had on the table, you know, they were roasted in oil. And I guess, you know, it's southern. People were afraid that if they put raw vegetables out there that maybe people wouldn't eat them. Again, I think if you give people a chance at what's healthy, they'll like it and they'll accept it. It clearly doesn't work in the office setting when you just give a sheet about what to eat, or you just give a handout or references for people to look into. They won't do it. In our meetup group, we did a meetup on Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease book by Dr. Esselstyn, and we had a great turnout, but probably only 5 people of the 50 people in the room had actually read the book. A lot of people carried it, but not very many people read it. I give out references to look over forks over knives or for books all the time in the office just to get people started. And most of the time they don't do it. So you need hands-on instruction. People need to see it for, you know, firsthand. So again, in the talk, I showed my little my area where I do my cooking demonstrations, and I showed some of the food that I did. And we talked about the approach to, you know, a group versus individuals. And I really do think it's a good way for physicians to practice and have in their office. You know, again, people get to know the practice better. They get to know the physician better. There's more time for questions. There's more time for learning, and it's a great learning tool, and it's been successful. I think you need to be able to declare that, you know, you're plant-based. I've talked about it before. Sometimes patients' families are the most negative people around as far as supporting them with their change. If your spouse will agree to work with you and eat a whole food plant-based diet, you're much greater advantage than someone that has to cook their own meals and be ostracized from the rest of the family because they have to eat something different because they're sick, so to speak. You know, the Happy Cow app is a great app for traveling. We found, you know, those restaurants and shared them with people at the meeting. And I asked the restaurant owner at the studio, you know, does she get a lot of people from the resort? And she doesn't really. It's, you know, mainly locals that know and eat there. You know, certainly it would be great if, you know, they could cater one of the events, you know, and have some sort of a demonstration because they were really good. So maybe we'll be able to put them together for their conferences in the future. If anybody's listening from the South Carolina Academy of Family Practice, they should, you know, get a hold of those people. For our nutrition conference last year, you know, we brought in a chef from a different restaurant into the yacht club to do the cooking, and they worked together and they both learned. So, you know, I think that would be a great way to, you know, have physicians meetings would be to cater them with vegan restaurants, at least vegan options, so that you get something besides, you know, this hotel food. I gave them a little tip for treating blood pressure. 3 to 4 cups of greens a day, 2 cups of hibiscus tea, and 2 cups of beet juice. I never thought I'd hear myself saying that, but it all works to help lower blood pressure. Of course, you can do the 4 Brazil nuts to lower your cholesterol for 9 hours. Oh, I'm sorry, your cholesterol will be lowered 9 hours after the 4 Brazil nuts and stays lowered for 30 days. Don't forget your 2 tablespoons of vinegar to decrease your fasting glucose, and your beans about a cup a day for lowering your heart rate. The crazy thing is there's no medicine on earth that will do what those above things did without serious side effects. I had one senior doctor, he was 86 years old, and he agreed with me that the vinegar was a great thing and helped lower his sugars. But then he came back around to say that now he can eat banana splits without problems. You know, you make small progress, small steps, right, before you give up the battle. So I finished my talk talking about my case presentations, and I think I've mentioned a lot of these before, but in case you're new to the show, I'll mention it. I had a patient that followed for a long time that had went away because of insurance and came back. He'd had a bypass surgery in 2002. He had severe disease of all his major arteries. When he came back to me, he had heart failure and chest pain when he walked 25 yards. When he had left me several years ago, he was walking 3 miles a day. All of a sudden, the chest pain got worse. He also had an arrhythmia now, so he was on blood thinner, high blood pressure medicines, diabetic medicines, and high cholesterol medications. And we actually cathed him because his symptoms have changed so abruptly, and there was a blockage in the side of his heart that was inoperable. So I talked to him and his daughters about changing to a whole food plant-based diet. They all bought the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease cookbook. They came to the nutrition class, and after 6 weeks, basically, And not even before that. In 2 weeks, he was back to walking without chest discomfort. He's back to walking his 3 miles a day. He's lost over 47 pounds. He's not had any chest discomfort. We've stopped his cholesterol medication. We stopped his diabetic medication. We stopped his high blood pressure medicine. He's on one low dose of one pill for his arrhythmia. You know, his daughters have also lost weight. They're all exercising. It's brought their family closer together. I don't think medications or a stent would have done any of that. The next case I presented to them was a patient that really, if you looked at him on the street, you'd think he's a pretty fit 70-some-year-old guy. Thin, not really overweight, but he had high cholesterol most of his life, had high blood pressure, taken blood pressure pills for a long time. He presented with chest discomfort to the hospital and had a bypass. 1 year later, one of the bypass grafts had a blockage in it, and he had an angioplasty. When I met him, I talked about a whole food plant-based diet in the hospital, and we talked about it in the office, but it was before I had my nutrition class going, and I gave him the prevent and reverse heart disease references, and he was trying, but really he hated not having meat and, you know, a standard American diet. He was on statin therapy that caused muscle problems. He had an abnormal stress test despite the recurrent stent placement. His heart function was not normal anymore. I finally convinced him to come to the nutrition course, and he and his wife both came, which was new. His wife had never been present in any of the office visits, and so she started doing cooking whole food plant-based for him. He discovered, you know, I tipped upon, he was saying how he missed comfort foods, and I said, what about mushroom gravy? That was what clicked for him. He started eating mushroom gravy on mashed potatoes. He was happy as a clam. He was able to stay on his plant-based diet. Exercise capacity increased. We did a stress test. His exercise went from 6 minutes to 9 minutes. His EKG no longer had changes. His heart function improved, and the defects on his stress test went away. So if that doesn't show you something, the only thing that changed, and we stopped his cholesterol medication. My Vietnam vet man that's 86 years old, I'll just give you a follow-up on him. You know, he had heart failure, COPD, oxygen, diabetes, neuropathy, the whole nine yards. He lost over 40-some pounds, took him off most of his medications. The interesting thing about him is that he went on vacation back to Massachusetts to visit family, but he stayed in a hotel. He came back to me up 18 pounds, all of water, short of breath. We put him back on this, you know, the regular side. We're going to go back to square one with the oatmeal blueberries for breakfast, dinner with wild white rice, cabbage, carrots, and zucchini for 2 weeks, come back, 20 pounds gone, he feels good, we're backing off of his diuretics again. So, you know, it's unbelievable that, you know, again, dietary changes can do so much. Even harder to convince people is if they have bad kidneys, a lot of times you lose the protein like we talked before, and to get people to actually do this, they know they're so afraid of this protein, that it's hard to get him to do it. But he and his caregiver are very committed, and I didn't have anybody else interfering with us, so there wasn't much of a fight, so he did well. I got a call from my liver failure patient that I talked about before, and said they're working him up for a potential liver transplant. And I wondered if they'd seen him, because all his swelling has gone down, and he's walking, and his medications are being eliminated, and he's had no arrhythmia, and he's doing really well. And so he's very stable, but, you know, instead of being happy that he's stable, they're just waiting for the other shoe to fall and, waiting for him to need a liver transplant. And I really can't wait to see, you know, in 6 months to a year, what this guy's liver function does. So I really liked being a cheerleader for medicine, and medicine as in do no harm and educate people on the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet. And I'm hoping that some of the people that heard the lecture at least became curious, that they looked at the references. Only about 3 or 4 people had watched Forks Over Knives. No one had taken the E. Cornell course. So, you know, I encouraged all of those things for physicians to educate themselves. I mean, you know, everybody was there. They want to be educated. They want to have continuing medical education. We just need to get physicians the right kind of continuing education so that we can actually take care of patients and take back health care and start preventing all these lifestyle diseases. Physicians just need to wake up like everybody else and realize that medicine is not the answer. It's what we put on our plate and what we expose ourselves to. It would be great, instead of having an expo full of different kinds of pens to inject insulin and different kind of blood pressure pills and toys with the name of the drugs on it. Instead, we have demonstrations and maybe cooking demonstrations and menu planning demonstrations and maybe ways for physicians to set up in their practice how to do these group classes and how to do nutrition education in their classes. Because that really is where it is. And I agree with the people at the Plantrition Project is that until it comes from physicians, it's really not going to be accepted by the general population. You know, there's a fringe out there that really doesn't want anything to do with medicine, and they're going to do well. They're going to find out their own answers. But the majority of people still looks to science and the healthcare industry to provide them with direction. So we have to educate the physicians so that they can provide the right direction, and let's use the pharmaceuticals only in a, much needed or a last resort type of thing for bad things that we can't prevent with eating a good diet and staying healthy. If you have any questions, you can contact me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. If you have an interesting story, how becoming whole food plant-based has changed your life, give me an email. If you have a question on why it's not working for you, give me an email. I would encourage you to keep honing in on your diet and eat for health and be conscious of what you're eating and be aware of what you're eating. It'll make you feel all that much better. So go out and get some sunshine. Plant a little garden in the backyard or in a pot on the back porch and be plant strong. See you next week, hopefully with an interview.